What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to episode 89 of More Wrestling's podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Morrison. This is the second episode of the 2023-24 season previews. This episode is featuring Cortland State, and we are here with head coach of Cortland State, Tommy Prairie. Coach, you know, it's 10 a.m. on a Wednesday. The world championships are going on right now. I mean, I've woke up the last several days, you know, 4:30 in the morning to catch it, but have you been watching and following along?
You're a little stronger than me. I wasn't getting up at 4:30, but I was able to catch pretty much most of it, starting at about 7 most days. Got to see a lot of the freestyle, and then now the women's wrestling and Greco starting here soon.
Yeah, I mean, I had the last few days of work off, so you know, I kind of missed. I mean, I didn't really miss too much of the men's freestyle. I was able to get out of work and watch it, and then kind of really just pull a all day thing, you know, watching the freestyle. But I'm here supporting the girls. We didn't have the greatest round, I guess, earlier. You know, we've already been eliminated one, I think. Emma Brunthill and Amit Elora are wrestling in the semis here in about 45 minutes. But, you know, talking about the worlds. You know, I noticed Jeff Buxton in the corner coaching Sebastian Rivera, you know, as he went on in his awesome run, finishing silver at 65 kilograms. You know, Buxton was your coach when you went to Blair for your prep year, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was that experience like? Because I'm not gonna lie, you know, I had to look up your bio when you got hired last summer, last August, and you know, I noticed that you went to Blair. So I did a little research. I was like, oh, 2001. I said, you know, you must have been competing with the guys like Mark Perry, Zach Esposito, Kurt Backes, Steve Mako, Corey Cooperman, you know, having some awesome coaches in the room too. You know, I went to Blair back in 2010. My buddy from Governor had a cousin who was on the team, and he was probably the only guy that didn't go on to wrestle Division One, or probably wrestle in college at all. But you know, he went to Blair, and I was able to go to Blair to watch the quad that they had down there, and I'm just kind of amazed Buxton was still there at the time when I went. But you know, I was just kind of amazed, you know, what was it like being in the room back then with all those hammers?
Yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenal experience. I always say I learned more in that 9 months than I did the previous 12 years wrestling. Just be surrounded by that many guys. The year I was there was the last year we had a full PG team. So there were 13 PGs there. So we'd all finished our high school career. So we wrestled a full college schedule there. You know, we were at the Wilkes Open. We were kind of sideshow. We'd go to Iowa Penn State Duel, and we wrestle exhibitions beforehand against their backups. We'd be at Gloucester Community College. We wrestled up at Morrisville. So we were able to go all over. We weren't allowed to compete against high school public schools, but we were able to wrestle off for prep nationals. So I think that year they were by far the best team in the country. They beat Ed's by over 20 points. And then six of us wrestled off and took those guys' spots. We were able to compete at prep nationals. But yeah, it was a phenomenal experience. Just definitely a different world. You know, you'd go in on a Tuesday for practice, and John Smith would be there. Next day, you'd have Kerry McCoy there. Just the amount of wrestling knowledge in that room was incredible. And Buxton is, I mean, a phenomenal coach. He was doing stuff decades ahead of any other coach, high school wise, in the country.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, every time you get a chance to listen to him talk and you know, see what he does with technique and the way he breaks it down is it's pretty special. You know, but as I mentioned, you took your grad year at Blair, but you're originally from Jersey anyways, correct? Before.
Jersey.
Yeah, so having spent the last, I mean, being from Jersey and then having spent the last 11 years at Washington and Jefferson and, you know, near Pittsburgh, you know, what interested in coming to New York? Kind of coaching at SUNY Cortland.
The biggest draw was, you know, being from New Jersey, I was able to move closer to home. So I'm about 3 hours from my parents. My one sister's in Long Island. So that was a draw in itself doing that. And then I feel there's only a handful of schools that are capable of winning a national title. You know, we had a lot of success at WNJ, but being a small private school that was $68,000 a year, there's limitations on who you can recruit. You know, I figure I got 20, 25 years left of coaching. I wanted to be somewhere with a realistic chance of winning a national title. And, you know, Cortland kind of has everything. Where academically, we're a lot, you know, the last decade it's risen where it's one of the premier academic schools in New York right now. It's a beautiful campus. It's rated the safest school in New York, and the best value. Our in-state tuition is 20,000, out of state it's 22,000. That's all in room and board. So you're able to kind of recruit definitely a draw in New York, but Pennsylvania and New Jersey as well. And just a tradition here and commitment to athletics. I mean, Cortland is good at every sport. It's a place you can win national titles. I think we have mid-20s as a program athletic department. So it's a place that you're definitely capable of winning a national title.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we need a team national title to come back to the East Coast because Orberg and Augsburg have, had their fair share of national titles. And I mean, I when was the last year that an East Coast team won? Maybe Ithaca?
Ithaca won in 89, 90, and I think 94. And then there was a run with, before that, Brockport College in New Jersey. It was East Coast dominated. Dominated until I think it was 96, and then it's just been Wartburg and Augsburg ever since.
St. Lawrence, they won it in 88, didn't they?
Yeah, I think one of the last years they had the program, they were one of the top teams in D3.
Yeah, that's it was very unfortunate that they don't have a program now, because that's only a 25-minute drive from Governor, and Oswego is the closest Division three, really closest college with wrestling to me, and that's an hour and 20 minutes south, but. It is what it is. But yeah, talking about Washington and Jefferson, like you said, it's a private school, Cortland State, of course, state school. I know you had your experience of coaching at a state school before, but, what are some of the changes, I guess, going from a private school to coaching at a state school?
Definitely a lot more. I mean, the Cortland name is huge. So, when I talk to a recruit, they know right away what Cortland is. Usually at WNJ, I'd have to explain that we're not Washington Lee, we're not Washington University, and try to explain in southwestern Pennsylvania, WNJ was very well known, but I think there's 60 plus NCAA programs in Pennsylvania. So you're fighting against the D2s, you're fighting against the D1s, where it's definitely a lot easier to get that top level talent here in New York. The type of kid we can get here, where we're bringing in multiple time placers, we have state champs on the team. It's a lot different where roster size, I think we're mid 50s right now. We'll cut it down to 40 to 45 going in the year. Last year, we started with 68 guys. So it's not as hard to convince people to come here.
No, I mean, you were able to build up WNJ, back when you're coaching there, like I said, for 11 years. They had a few All-Americans back in the day looking at the school's website, but you had 8 All-Americans and the school's first national champ. Portland has a rich history itself and a lot of recent successes too. But, I know this is only your second season and first real full season. Like I said, you're only hired like 13 months ago, so you had a season of recruiting and being able to do preseason stuff. But how exciting is it to kind of have that full year to help Portland State build it back up and kind of the way you want it to go?
I mean, it's great. Last year, I didn't move here until October. So I drove 7 hours back and forth. Oof. 7 hours here on Sunday, 7 hours back on Wednesday, for about 2 months. So being able to spend time with the guys this time of year is huge. And then just kind of starting the process of setting us up for the next couple decades, where we build a summer camp system this summer. We have prospect camps in place. We're halfway through recruiting our 2024s right now, started on 2025s. Of just building everything in place so going forward, all that is ready to go. Definitely a lot more settled. And, being at a state school, it is a different animal than private school. Just figuring out all the paperwork involved to do every little thing is it's a lot easier year two.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, once you get into the swing of things, it'll be, well-oiled machine. But, taking a step back, I guess, like I said, I had to look up your bio. I noticed you were a 3-time All-American for Williams College in the early 2000s at 125 pounds. Me knowing a bit of history about Cortland State, I knew they also had somebody by the name of Jason Peck, who was a multiple-time All-American at 125. You were a national runner-up in 2005, and I believe he was in 2004. I think you guys were in the same brackets both of those years that you guys, were all Americans. But as a wrestling nerd myself, I guess I kind of found that an interesting tidbit. But did you ever wrestle him any of those years?
Yeah, I beat Jason in the WrestleBacks. I think he placed fifth. I placed third his junior year, my sophomore year in 2003. I lost to him in the semis my junior year, his senior year. So we wrestled twice. We were 1-1. When I got here, there's a picture of Jason lifting someone in the air at nationals. And thankfully it wasn't me.
I'll get into the pictures of that are displayed in the wrestling room in a second. But another fun fact was in 2015, you coached a national champion at W&J with Nick Carr. And also, Cortland State had a national champion at 197 pounds with Joey Giaramita. So that was kind of an interesting tidbit where, you're coaching one school that year and they had a national champ in Cortland State, the team you're at now. They also do. But, talking about that rich tradition at Cortland State and the many All-Americans and national champs that they have, they're all on display. I guess not all of them, but most of them are on display in the wrestling room, correct?
Yeah, so we have our 14 national finalists. All of their pictures are on the wall. And then we have another about a dozen multiple time All-Americans. Their pictures are on the wall. And then our 100 plus All-Americans, we have them on the wall as well. So those graphics were done. Part of our Circle of Champions that was set up a few years ago was to part of room renovations. And it was raise money to keep updating the room and then also to do out of region travel. So we've kind of put our history on the wall. And we're actually unveiling here October 28th. We have a prospect clinic, we have a red and white scrimmage, and then we're putting a wall up in the room with all of our alumni in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. We have 30 alumni in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame through various chapters. So we're bringing as many of them as possible back, showing them the history going up on the wall, and then also introducing them before the red and white scrimmage.
That's what I'm talking about. That's kind of the stuff that like helps build that, alumni base. I mean, I guess most of the time you talk to somebody that went to Cortland, they're obviously really proud that they went to Cortland because it's taken them down a lot of avenues in life. But to be able to kind of introduce the new era to the old era and kind of keep them connected is special. I got to see if I got that day off on my calendar and I want to get down there. But because I don't think I've been down to Cortland State, at least in the wrestling room, before the renovations. I don't know, I peeked my head in the room one time, but I was there on campus last year for the red and white duel. It was a fun environment, great turnout. Let's get into the roster. You said it's a big roster. Last year you basically inherited whatever Coach Bruin had left in the cupboards, and it had a lot of solid guys and a very full roster as well. What were your goals for recruiting guys last year coming into this year?
I mean, we don't recruit weight classes just because it's so hard to tell a 17, 18-year-old what they're going to be at 20, 22, 23. My philosophy has always been the three things we look for in a student athlete is academics. We try not to sneak anyone through academics. And with the academic standards here, it's hard to get a low academic student in. So we want kids where academics is a huge priority. They're coming here to graduate. And that was year one. The focus is just changing the culture of we want guys that are here for 4 years, graduating in 4 years. And that was a big part of the tryouts last year, where 30 of our guys finished with over a 3.2 GPA first semester. The second thing is we want good people. Any kind of issues on campus, academic integrity issues, anything like that, we don't stand for any of that. Where, we want high academic kids that are good people. And then the other thing we look for is just kids that love wrestling. It's hard to be successful at college if it's just something you like or something you've always done. We want kids that love wrestling. We've had guys in the office all week and over the weekend watching Worlds. We want guys that are just passionate about wrestling and getting better. They're trying to knock the door down right now. We're kind of limiting how much they're in the room. We want guys that just want to be in there in season, out of season. And if you have high academic students that are well behaved on campus that love wrestling, coaching is extremely easy. So we tried to look for those guys. And just kind of fill in the gaps. We brought in about one per weight class, and that'll be the goal next year. A couple more upper weights as well. But just bringing guys that have had success at the state tournament and guys that are really excited about wrestling at the college level.
Yeah, I mean, talking about the recruit, like, I guess recruiting, as we said, like it almost takes care of itself with the Cortland State being a great school, it has a lot of majors. But if you go to almost every high school in the state of New York, you find a physical education teacher, who is a Cortland alum. In fact, the guy I coached with at Governor is a Cortland alum. Went to school in the 90s there, but it's just, I mean, almost every school you go to is there's a Cortland alum. So, if you want to be a phys ed teacher, most of the time, like you said, good tuition, you go to Cortland State, and so that opens up a lot of doors for getting into teaching, and then of course coaching. A lot of the coaches are also Cortland alums as well, so it's big. Another thing about recruiting is the Cornell had a college coaching combine where guys could come down wrestle. I mean, some colleges that I've seen, you know, had tables set up with brochures and whatnot. So the coach, assistant coach, whatnot, can talk to the wrestlers. You attended that, I saw, at least Cortland State did. You know, how was that?
Yeah, that was great. We went there. We had specific kids we were there to talk to. We had a couple out of state kids that came to that, and then they toured Cortland the next day. So we've kind of have specific kids we're targeting, and we also have two prospect camps of our own coming up, where we'll be in 2 weeks. September 30th, we'll be down at Savage Wrestling Academy in Long Island. So we're doing an alumni event that Friday, trying to get as many Cortland alum that are on the island, and then more than half our team is from Long Island, so we're just going there now to recruit, rather than try to convince them all to drive 5 hours here for a recruiting visit. And we also have a prospect camp on October 28th here, again linked with the alumni event. And I've always found, doing an individual campus tour is great, showing around campus for hour, 2 hours. But we like to see them wrestle. We like to see how easily they can pick up technique, and kind of see how they react in a practice. So both of those are about 4 hours, where we're going to show technique. We're going to show our warm-ups. We're going to go through drills. We're going to go through live wrestling and be able to spend time with them and also get them to see our coaching philosophy, where we want them to understand what their expectations are going to be from us.
That's a very smart thing to do, setting up a prospect down on Long Island. Obviously, Long Island got it has the name of Strong Island, but like you said, I mean, a lot of the alumni are from down there. And if you look at a lot of all Americans that were at Cortland State, I think the majority, I guess, in the last 20 years probably come from Long Island. And it's, that's a great place to go. And I know the coach of Savage is doing a great job as well. This is not the first time you were able to see future Red Dragons. You guys hosted the Roll Red Duels in the camp this year, this past summer, I guess. How was the turnout for that?
The Roll Red Duels were great. We had 10 club teams come in and wrestle, and that linked right up to our first camp. I think between the two camps, we had about 140 wrestlers here.
Nice.
Some overnight, a few commuters, or mostly overnight, a few commuters. So that's something we're looking to build. And we want guys that are here multiple times before their senior year, where with our prospect camps throughout the year, we will plan on hosting a few dual events in the summer and then building that camp. Our goal next year is, that first camp in June to do a duels camp as well. And we want to bring in 12 teams where they're each going to get 11 matches, and each team's paired up with one of our wrestlers. So rather than just come in and wrestle 11 matches, they're going to do a duel, and then our wrestlers are going to work with both teams and kind of build on what they need to work on for the next duel. And we feel like that's a little more value than if you're a top tier guy and you go to a summer duels tournament, usually you're getting 11 first period pins. So we want to come in and you're getting a match, but then we're working on things. So you have a coach with you for those 4 or 5 days. So not only are you going and getting the matches, you're also getting a lot of technique. So kind of a hybrid of a technique camp and a duels camp. And I've always found if you have wrestling on your campus in the summer, it's great for the program. And we're fortunate where we have an ice hockey rink where the ice is down for 6 months a year and it's off for the others. So we're able to leave mats down for the whole summer. And we're able to use our wrestling room where, we use 6 mats this summer. We'd like to expand it to 8 or 10 next summer.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Like having a camp or a wrestling camp on campus, because I don't think there's enough wrestling camps, I guess, in the state, at least, central New York, northern New York, because you think of it, there's a lot of clubs that host clinics and whatnot and camps, but having a camp that you're able to go to a college and, you walk around, you're seeing kind of the places on campus, the athletics department, just kind of getting accustomed to that. And then of course, creating a relationship with the college wrestlers or the coaches that, are there being clinicians and camp counselors and whatnot. So that's a very smart decision. I went to, well, Clarkson University, it's a private school up here, didn't have wrestling. I mean, I guess that's not the point, but Mitch Clark used to have wrestling camps up here, had the Ohio State guys, and just the relationships and the memories you get spending a week with guys like that and able to help you out with wrestling along the way, having duels each day was great. So that's awesome. I'm glad that Portland's having camps on campus. So,
We had about a dozen NCAA coaches here at those camps. So, you know, obviously we want to recruit guys, but it's an opportunity for them to be exposed to other coaches. And then we were able to bring in every one of our incoming freshmen between the two camps. So they were able to work with our strength coaches in the summer, spend time around our guys. And, you know, we think that's going to be a valuable recruiting tool where, you know, if it's a kid we're interested in and we're able to spend 4 or 5 days with them, we get to see the type of kid they are, you know, how they react when practices get tough, when you're doing 2 or 3 practices a day, you got early morning lifts. We get to see the kid and they get to see us. So I feel like that helps the recruiting rather than a few phone calls, a campus tour, and trying to commit for the next 4 years. We feel like that really exposes what we are as a program and just being around our kids. I mean, I think that's one of the most valuable selling tools here. You know, the culture here is extremely strong. When you're able to be around guys like Jaden Cardenas for, you know, 4 days, we had a couple guys come to back-to-back camps that we're looking at for 2024. And, you know, you're able to spend 8-9 days with someone that's been to nationals a few times. And, you know, he's one of the leaders in our program. It's huge for recruiting. And it really lets us see the type of kid that we're recruiting.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, you said there was NCAA coaches there. I think I did see, you know, Cortland alum, Justin Signorelli, that's at Alfred State. He was there this summer. So yeah. That rings a bell.
He brought with him Anthony Maraglia, who was a senior from last year, and now he's on staff for us as our assistant coach. So it kind of go for full circle there.
Oh, I forgot about that. I saw that he tweeted that. You know, that was tweeted or actually on Instagram last month ish. But I you know, that's kind of funny because I interviewed Anthony last year, and Justin's like, he's got a great story. Like, where he was when he started at Alfred State before Signorelli got there too, or maybe it was his first year when Signorelli got there too, where he was, you know, last year, you know, being a leader for the team and whatnot. And I was actually talking with Anthony, the NWCA coaches conference clinic kind of thing that they had at Tioga this year. So yeah, great dude. And I'm looking forward to having him at Cortland State. You mentioned something about the athletic or the strength coach and strength conditioning coach. You know, has the wrestling team there always had a strength coach?
So we've always had two full-time strength conditioning coaches here. Wrestling program hasn't used it until last year.
Okay.
So that's a huge thing that I think will change the program going forward, where, you know, we use a program called Team Builder, where it's an app, everything's run through there. So we have Coach Phil works with the wrestling team. So right when they got on campus, they're going 3 days a week. Once we get in season, they're going to go 2 days a week with Phil. Off season going 4 days a week. And then once they go home in the summer, all the programming's on there, a video of every exercise. And it's a wrestling specific lift. And then in season, it's very individualized where our upper weights are doing a completely different lift than our lower weights. You know, our heavyweight that's 300 pounds is never going to wrestle like Jaden Cardenas, who's 133 pounds. So they shouldn't lift the same. They shouldn't train the same. So we kind of take an individualized approach for that. And really getting our lifts wrestling specific. We aren't going to do heavy bench. We don't do anything heavy overhead. We're doing a lot of agility things. This point in the year, we're really transitioning to making it functional lifting. We do a lot of single arms, single leg, just to kind of balance the body out. The summer's pretty traditional where we're just lifting heavy, trying to get guys big and strong. Same with the spring. Once we get in season, it's more injury prevention. You know, we're lifting heavy, usually one core lift a day, where we're doing a deadlift, we're doing a squat. But everything else is injury prevention. We treat our whole team like they have 2 shoulder injuries, 2 knee injuries, and we're trying to make sure that they're staying healthy throughout the year, rather than just grind them for 6 months.
Yeah, that's smart. And, cause I knew 7 or 8 years ago, when Ryan LeBlanc was an assistant coach there, that, you know, they didn't have they didn't utilize, I guess, a strength coach. Maybe, I know as a Division I wrestler, he kind of put together, you know, strength, you know, plans for their guys on the team. And, you know, obviously back then they had success with that, you know, with Bobby Dierna, Joe Giramita, Tyler Beck with Colin Barber, Maverick Pissarro. Just, I think those are quite a few of the All-Americans they had back then at that time. So that's obviously big, you know, utilizing a strength coach and getting your guys on the right path with that. Far as the schedule goes, what's that?
And it's huge. I mean, college wrestling, if you're healthy and your weight's under control in March, you're dangerous.
Yes.
That's one of the biggest things that we try to do is just keep guys healthy. You know, we rest guys quite a bit throughout the year where, you know, our freshmen, we'll get them 35, 40 matches. You know, once they're a fourth, fifth year senior, we're trying to limit that to 20 matches. We're sending them to the big events. But other than that, we want them healthy, hungry, and ready to go in March. And that strength and conditioning is huge, where we have certain points of the year where Monday, Tuesday, we have our older guys lifting and we know they're taking the weekend off. And we're just trying to fine tune little things and make sure they're good and ready to go at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you got to kind of balance that out with a pitch count, so to speak, for your veterans on the team. So they're, you know, they're ready to come January, February, March, because college wrestling season, that's obviously a long season, can be a grueling season, but, you know, balancing it the right way is going to be beneficial. But, you know, like the schedule, I spoke with Coach Morrison at St. John Fisher last week. He said something about you guys hosting the Red Dragon Duels. Now, in looking at your schedule that was posted on social media, I see a few newer events to the schedule, as well as, I don't know, more events, I guess, last year or this year that weren't on the schedule last year, as far as, you know, home duels and closer to Portland duels. But, you know, what went into being able to adjust the schedule to your liking this year?
So last year we only had one home event, and we actually wrestled at Oswego that morning and then came back here and wrestled in the afternoon. And that was our single home event. You know, we want to be able to compete at home. So we have Ithaca at home and a duel. That's our single duel we're always going to do every single year. It rotates back and forth from Ithaca. We added the Red Dragon duel. So it's Brockport, St. John Fisher, and Alfred coming in. So we wanted to be able to see those teams, and we wanted our guys to be able to wrestle at home, both first and second semester. The other quad at home, it's College of New Jersey, which right now they're the top team in the region, so we made it a point to put them on a schedule. So it's a quad with them, Delaware Valley, which is a tough team out of Pennsylvania, and then Oswego, and that'll rotate around, so we'll go down to College of New Jersey next year. So we wanted to make sure we have at least three events every year at home. The rest of our schedule, you know, we always find tournaments are important. The end of the year, regionals is a tournament, nationals is a tournament. So we have to wrestle tournaments. So our first semester is mainly tournaments, and then we start mixing those quads and the single duel.
Nice. So talking about duels and looking at your schedule, of course, Cortland, if you talk about a duel meet with an in-state school, you got to talk about Cortland versus Ithaca. You know, it's one of the biggest Division III rivalries in the country. The Cortica duel, or the Cortica jug, you know, for football, they've got. I see on the schedule this year they're coming to Cortland. What needs to be done to get a rowdy crowd there? I mean, I'm just talking about duels, I guess, in general. But to get a rowdy crowd, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of support for, you know, something this kind of big. You know, you talked about bringing in the alumni and the Hall of Fame guys to introduce, but you know. I guess as a wrestling coach and, you know, a fan of the sport, you like to go to these duels and, you know, hopefully it's not a boring, I mean, even if it's a boring match, the crowd somewhat gets into it, whether they're, you know, starting chants or claps or whatever like that. You know, you go to Cornell, which is a little different beast, but they got a guy in the front row that will purposely start clapping and doing the slow clap and getting the crowd pumped up. For a Division III college, like I said, it's a big athletics college, so it shouldn't be too hard to get, you know, butts in the stands. But what needs to be done to, you know, kind of draw that crowd in?
Well, it was purposely put on Thursday. We think that's probably going to draw a little more high school kids. True. And coaches to be able to come during that. And then also it's not during our intersession. It's while the students are in school, so that should help as well. Yeah, and definitely Cortland and Ithaca is never going to be a boring duel. I mean, there's a lot of heat and a lot of rivalry there. So, you know, it's always going to be exciting. We had a great event last year at Ithaca. We did it with Rumble and Tumble. So we kind of teamed up with gymnastics and did those together. It didn't work out scheduling wise to have both, but we should be able to draw a crowd. So I think the big thing is just reaching out to high school coaches, letting them know that we have you know, a match on a Thursday and getting as many of them in the crowd as possible. Students as well, you know, t-shirt giveaways, things like that, draw people in. So it'd be great to have a huge crowd for that event. It's been a while since we've beaten Ithaca here at Cortland. So that's definitely a high priority as a goal for this year.
Yeah. I've got a Cortland shirt on right now, but I've also got an Ithaca shirt against my closet. One of my kids that I coach in high school wrestles at Ithaca, but I guess you have an Ithaca alum on staff with, Mike Fasili too. So that's gonna be great to heat up that rivalry and, get him. Obviously, he looks better in red. I'm gonna say that.
Yes, definitely. And if you make it down for the duel, we'll get you a fresh Cortland wrestling shirt. For that, you definitely can't wear a Ithaca one here.
Yeah, no, I won't wear my Ithaca one for sure. Having a full year at Cortland now, though, what are some of the changes, I guess, you implemented for, year two? You got guys on campus now, 2 months away from the first competition. What are you looking forward to most, I guess, this year?
I mean, I'm excited. It's definitely just having time to plan. It's just a more purposeful approach with scheduling, training, and things like that. This year we have something new where we've never been able to practice before October 10th. The NCAA gave us a non-traditional season, so we're allowed to get in the room 8 days before season. So we've been going twice a week in the room, and with that, we kind of have four little things we want to work on. And we've never had time before the season to actually just work on technique. It's always been a 3 week sprint where we need to get in, get them in shape, get them down the weight and wrestle. So we're able to get in there and just kind of play wrestling, get in positions that we think are important, especially with the rule changes, and focus on those. And it rather than just doing open mats, it gives them a little more instruction. So we're on week two of that now. So we have a practice this afternoon. We had a practice this morning. Yesterday we had two as well. So I think with that, the scheduling, we kind of tapered it back a little bit, where I think we competed too much. And we always have a lot of high level national events, and we still have those, but kind of some downtime in between where we purposely worked in. Where we have the Red Dragon duels, and then we have almost a month before we go to the Williams Open. So with that, we're able to focus on finals. We're able to focus on strength training. The guys get to go home for 2 weeks, and then we come back for a week and prepare for the Williams Open. And we're still going to Bud Whitehill duels, which was the original national duels down in Lycoming. That's always a huge event. We're going out to Pete Wilson in Chicago. That's the premier event for Division III. It's usually the top 30 teams in the country, and there's very few East Coast teams there. So we get to see all the Wisconsin schools, a few of the Iowa schools, and it's as close as you can get to the national tournament. There, I believe we placed five guys, four of them went to nationals, and Centrone was an overtime match away. So it's a huge event there, and it kind of simulates what we try to do with that is. We fly to Chicago. We're there for 4 or 5 days. We compete for 2 days. We don't want nationals, someone's junior or senior year, the first time they're in a plane to go and compete. So able to simulate that almost 2 months out from nationals helps a lot. Like last year, we went to national duels down in Kentucky. We trained at Ohio State on the way. It's another 5 day trip. It's a skill to be able to go somewhere and have to be on the road for a few days, make weight, train outside of your normal environment. So we try to simulate that just so when we get to regionals and nationals, it's kind of business as usual rather than the first time they're doing something unique like that. And we have, a few competitions within New York, but we try to get outside of New York as much as possible. Just so we're seeing different teams trying to get that seeding for nationals. We're out in Rhode Island for the Roger Williams Invitational. We're in Massachusetts for the Williams Open. So we try to vary our schedule. We like showing up to events where no one on our team knows anyone on any other team. They don't know our guys, and it's a lot more like nationals will be rather than, if we go to the Ithaca Invitational or RIT, it's the same guys they've wrestled for the last 4 years in high school, and we want a completely different new environment, new event, new competitors.
Yeah, having that balance is pretty key. Talking about the Bud Whitehill duels, I was there a few years ago to watch. I don't know if Cortland went that year or not, but yeah, that's a good dual meet tournament. Well, talking about Cortland though, or actually talking about your leaders, like I said, it's preseason's kind of kicking in. You already mentioned Jaden Cardenas. He was captain last year as well. Who are some of your leaders this year, and kind of what does Jaden Cardenas mean to you, I guess, as a leader for your program?
I mean, he's been phenomenal. He was here a lot of the summer doing camps. He's running preseason. He's on the mat. He's obviously phenomenal, very talented, but he's one of the best leaders I've ever had. Just always positive, always ready to go, always willing to spend time with other guys. So he's our captain for this year. We'll probably name one or two as we go farther. We also have a Roll Red Council. It's a group of six guys on the team. And those guys are really focused on things outside of the wrestling room. So we give them a couple incoming freshmen that they're mentoring throughout the fall, and just help with their transition to college, academic, social life. You know, when I give instructions of here's practice for the week, here's what we're doing, they're able to kind of explain to them, you know, the little things that may go over their head. So we feel like that helps a lot. And it, you know, college wrestling is all about retention. If you have a guy on your team and they last the whole 4 years, they're going to get better. And if academically they're doing well and they're on pace to graduate, you know, your program's doing good. Where, you know, this year we have 12 seniors. I don't think there's a lot of Division III programs in the country that have 12 seniors. And, you know, it's always, for me, retention has been huge. Last year we did cuts down to 40 and we finished with 38 on the roster. And I think it's starts with that recruiting process, bringing in the right guys, but also giving them the tools while they're here. Obviously me and the coaches are going to work with them, but I think having someone closer to their age that they can come to with those problems they're not comfortable coming to the coach with, and just someone helping them, you know, college wrestling is really tough. And there's going to be times when you question why you're wrestling in college. You go to a tournament, I don't care who you are, you're going to have bad tournaments. You're going to have bad days in class. Just having someone to lean on is huge. That council is something new we're doing this year. And I think that'll help kind of get those freshmen through the first year.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think Springfield had something similar where they have, you know, a couple captains and I guess a leadership committee as far as like five or six guys on their team as well. Talking about Cortland's, I guess, the area of Cortland, you know, what's your favorite place to eat in Cortland? You know, I drive through Cortland, you know, besides a nice breakfast at the Cortland Diner, I'm always looking for a good option down there.
So I just found Friday, Gorgers. It's a sandwich shop on town. If you're walking down Main Street, you'd never even notice it. It's one of the best sandwiches I've ever had. They bake the bread fresh in there. The menu's constantly changing. That's my new favorite spot. Just went there last week. I'm probably going to go there Friday, again this week. That's the new place that I'm all about. I would definitely recommend it.
Nice. So talking about, I guess, I mean, this was kind of a something I was thinking about last night between Ithaca, Cortland, and I guess just, you know, Division I, and maybe it's Cornell versus Binghamton and Ithaca versus Cortland, just kind of thinking of the schools that are down in the Southern Tier region, Finger Lakes region. Just, it would probably have to be like when Ithaca hosts Cortland sometime, but just thinking of the seats or people that would be in the stands and, you know, how well packed it could get if, let's say, Cornell hosted Binghamton and Ithaca hosted Cortland, I guess at the same facility somewhere in Ithaca, probably would have to be at Cornell University. I mean, I'm sure you could go two mats side by side, you know, at the Newman Arena, but it would be pretty, you know, big to try to draw in crowds, you know, because obviously a lot of high school athletes and high school teams go to Cornell for duels just because, like I said, it's a rowdy environment. And of course, Cornell being the top five team in the country draws those people in, but having those people come to a duel and being able to see Division III wrestling as well, you know, would be big. So maybe it's a pipe dream, or maybe it's something that could happen in a few years.
Wisconsin did that a few years ago, where they had a Division I, Division II, and Division III Wisconsin team all wrestle Division I, Division II, and Division III out of state team. Yeah, that'd be a great event. I'll talk to Mike Gray about it. We would love to be a part of it, especially with the rivalry and, you know, with them in Binghamton, that'd be great. I'm sure we'd draw a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to send Mike a text and, you know, kind of run that by him. I mean, it's just an idea. I mean, I know Mike actually does reach out to high school coaches and has high school duels going on before, you know, Cornell matches. I mean, we've gone down Governor a few times to wrestle other schools in New York State before a Cornell duel. And then, of course, we stay there and watch the duel and, you know, people become fans of Cornell that way as well. But yeah, I'll have to run that by him. Looking into, you know, the season, we talked about the season, talked about the schedule, talked about the roster, a little bit about your back history. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I'm excited about the year. I mean, we have a great group. We ended up with a phenomenal recruiting class. We have a good mix of We have the 12 seniors, but we're also very young, where I think next year we'll return over 30 guys. I'm excited about where our 2024s are, recruiting them right now. And just kind of what do we have in the schedule the next couple months with the prospect clinics and our schedule starting. This is the time of year where we're only allowed in the room twice a week, and we're just kind of itching to get in there 6 days a week and get on the mat and start competing and, you know, kind of sort things out there. But yeah, I'm really excited about this group and the team we have this year and kind of all the changes we made in the last 13 months.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the changes continuing to be made, because like I said, the incoming class that you brought in for this year is, I've been looking at the names last night, scrolling through the social media page on Instagram. I was like, damn, like this kid's going there, this kid's going there, like just a kid that I remember watching at the state tournament last year and we're impressed with. And they're gonna be Red Dragons this fall, so looking forward to that. Like I mentioned though, social media plugs, huge thing. I didn't do it last episode, I guess, for St. John Fisher, but I'll do it this episode. So on Instagram, we can find Cortland Wrestling at Cortland Wrestling. On Facebook, you can go SUNY Cortland Wrestling, capital SUNY and Cortland Wrestling. And on Twitter, or whatever we call it now, capital RD for Red Dragon, so capital RD underscore wrestling. You can find
it's a little three of those. It's a little confusing. They're all different, and it's unfortunately too late to change the names. But yeah, definitely follow on social media, all those, and anyone looking at those prospect camps or the wrestling camps, that's under Roll Red Wrestling Camps as well.
Nice. Yeah, I'll give that a share when I share this episode. But yeah, Coach, thanks for jumping on episode 89 of More Wrestling's podcast. I've already reached out to Jaden Cardenas, so he'll be my wrestler for this podcast, representing SUNY Cortland. Looking forward to listening to his conversation.
And let me know if you can come down to the red and white scrimmage, or maybe we'll get you out to Gorgers, get you a sandwich beforehand. We'd love to have you anytime you can make it down.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's only a short 2-hour drive down to Cortland to catch some duels, so I'm going to have to check my schedule and see what I can do.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. See you later, Coach. Roll Red. We are here joined with Portland State's returning NCAA qualifier and captain Jaden Cardenas. JC, how's preseason been going?
Preseason's going smooth. We're back in the weight room, getting back into shape, all that good stuff. So really excited for the season. Been working hard.
This is your, Coach Perry said your third year of eligibility, but your fourth year on campus, right? I mean, I got to ask, how much of a change is it from living in Brooklyn, where you attended high school, to going to college at Cortland?
Man, it's such a huge difference. Like I say it all the time. It's like back home is really fast paced. I come outside, I'm seeing a lot of people, a lot of different people, whatever. But, when I come up here, much quieter, it's definitely a different vibe, but it's like, I feel like I need it sometimes because the city can be a lot. Like, there's just so much stuff going on all the time. So it's definitely good to be in an environment like this. That's why one of the reasons why I chose Cortland is definitely calmer. And, I like it.
Yeah, someone I interviewed last year from Alfred State said the same thing about that, Alfred State, because Alfred's, smaller than Cortland State, but he was from Long Island, so it's way different pace, as far as that goes as well. But, talking about New York City, Brooklyn, the World Championships just finished up in Serbia. We had a good showing there. I think 7 medals from the men's freestyle, 7 medals from women's freestyle. But you yourself have had, the privilege to wrestle on a stage along with some of America's greats at the Beat the Streets event in Times Square. Was that 2016?
Yep. I think it was my 8th grade year. Yep.
What was that experience like? And what do you remember from that?
Man, that was one of my favorite wrestling moments ever. Like, I was relatively new to the sport. Oh yeah, I was new. I started in the 4th grade, but I didn't really start taking it seriously until about that 8th grade year, going into high school. It was just more like a for fun thing. But that was one of my favorite moments because I got to wrestle, like you said, with a lot of the Team USA guys. And it was in the middle of Times Square. Like, not a lot of people get to say they wrestled there. But one of the big things I remembered was I had double knee pads on that day. That's one of the main things I remember that I was mad at when I look back. I double knee pads, but I did hit a lat drop on the kid. He was like just pushing into me super hard. And it's funny because I had like just started practicing throwing and, you know, the freestyle and Greco. So that's definitely one of the moments that stick out for me.
Yeah, I mean, like wrestling on that kind of stage in front of all those people. I know, Flo had like a ton of interviews with just celebrities that were mat side, and just obviously the city folk that or might not have ever seen wrestling before, but of course, there's thousands and thousands of people in Times Square, at any given time. So you mentioned you wrestled that started wrestling at fourth grade. What was wrestling like in New York City, and how did you kind of get your start into the sport? When you were in fourth grade.
Man. So it's a funny story, actually. So my peewee coach, my elementary school coach, I seen him trying to recruit another kid in gym class, a bigger kid, right? And he was trying to convince the kid, and I was just eavesdropping. So I'm listening to that, and I go up to him. I'm like, "Coach, like, I'm trying to get in there." Mind you, I was still young at the time, and in the city, there's not a lot of like peewee programs, or even like starting young, like there isn't you like you see in Long Island, maybe upstate PA. So yeah, we don't really start young there. A lot of the guys that wrestled with me at Grand Street, they started their freshman year of high school, you know, and then developed that way. But
The coach recruited the big guys, so I mean, you kind of thought you would want to go with as well.
So I was like, "Coach, come on, put me in there." And mind you, so I was still young, so you're not really allowed to be a part of that, or at least in my school, we weren't allowed to be a part of the wrestling team as a youngin. But I had my mom come in, and my mom like was chirping at him, and ended up convincing him to let me on the team. And then I fell in love with it. I started wrestling ever since, and was just competing. Like I said, I didn't start taking it seriously until I got to high school, but I definitely was around the sport a lot at the time.
So, taking it serious in high school, one of your high school coaches was Stephen Keith, right?
Yeah, Keith, my guy Keith.
Yeah, so I mean, between like Keith and some of your other role models, who were the role models, growing up in the sport that you kind of would go to, whether it's leadership or just who to go to when you wanted to get better?
Actually, so like some of the first people that come to mind when you ask me that is a lot of my older teammates. Like, I don't know if you know Demetrius Henry, he graduated last year from here. Brian Torres, OG and Gray. There's a lot of guys that wrestled at Grand Street and ended up coming to Cortland that I looked up to growing up. Me and Demetrius started around like close to the same time. He was a few years older than me, but we started around the same time, and he's just someone I always looked up to, especially like even when I got here. Like, D is like one of my biggest role models. Like, he does everything right. School, you know, he's on time. He gets to the workouts. He does everything in his power to, reach his goals. And I really appreciate that from him. And as far as coaching, there's a lot of guys I can name that I looked up to and always looked out for me and supported me in any way that I needed to. Just a few, like my high school coach, Steven Perez, he's the man. Victor Maldonado, Stephen Keith, Sam Egan, Pat Godfrey. There's so much people that helped me, that I really don't like say thank you enough to them, because I wouldn't be where I am today without those people. So if you guys hear this, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Y'all the best.
Kind of talking about that, I think it might have been like 10 years ago. The Beat the Streets, practices. There was a kid that wrestled for PSAL. I want to say, I can't remember what his name was, and it's gonna drive me nuts. But like he was talking about, and there was a story about the transportation that he had to go through. Like he had to get on the metro and then take a bus to this place and then take another train to this place just to go to a practice, and it took forever. Or maybe it was just to go to school. What was, you were part of the Beat the Streets, and again, you wrestled at Grand Street Campus, which great wrestling team. What was transportations like for practices, whether it was, I guess Beat the Streets practices?
So luckily for my high school practice, I lived 2 blocks away from Grand Street. So I would walk there. It wasn't really no problem. But as far as Beat the Streets practices, that was a little bit of a challenge where I had to take the train. Sometimes they host practices at Columbia, at certain points in the season, Columbia University, and that's a trip away from my house. So like an hour 15 train ride. Sometimes they would host practice at Edge in Hoboken, and that's another, I gotta take the train, then hop on the PATH train to get to Jersey, and then it's like a little walk from the train stop. So I definitely traveled a lot on the subway, and a lot of city kids could say the same, because that's like, main mode of transportation everywhere. And that kind of ties into the question you asked me earlier. That's also another thing that's so different up here. Everything's like kind of in walking distance, so like I don't have to really take the train anywhere.
That's kind of why I asked that question, especially for you, because I've had a few guys from Suffolk County on, and their way of living and their transportation. I mean, I was talking to somebody about like two like large school Division One schools are 2 miles, 1.8 miles away from each other, and then you can get to another one if you go another 5 or 6 miles. I'm three about 3 hours, actually about 2 hours north of Cortland, and we like there's. It's 30 miles to the nearest school, any which way you go. And it's obviously it's a long way too, but like you're talking, and I know like wherever you live to Columbia University, like you're talking an hour, ride. And I'm thinking to my head, like, mileage wise, it's probably not far, but the way of living in New York City and like just travels congested and not every road's going to get you to a place. So like you said, you have to take trains and this, that, and the other. It's very interesting, way of living. And obviously people have different upbringings through the sport, and that's just part of your journey, which is crazy. Talking about Beat the Streets organization though, what did Beat the Streets, do for you both on and off the mats looking back?
Man, I'm so grateful for Beat the Streets. They helped me out so much, just not even wrestling wise, just life wise. Like, they would host life skill workshops where we're like learning about time management, money management, how to apply to college, all that stuff that you really need in the real world that you might not even learn in school for real. But yeah, they helped a lot with that. And that was one of their big emphasis, not just creating great wrestlers, but great people, as far as wrestling, again, a overload of opportunities. We were going to camps in 8th grade. I went to the camp in Iowa University with a couple other guys, and they funded the whole trip. They do camps in the city. They take kids on school trips, visit colleges, and that's one of the main goals, to get kids into colleges. So yeah, they did a whole lot for me, and also the whole organization I'm grateful for as well.
Yeah, it's great to see. I know there's Beat the Streets Philly, Beat the Streets Chicago, Los Angeles. I mean, there's more cities kind of developing throughout the country, which is great because I mean, obviously it's very beneficial. You wrestled for PSAL in high school. High school Grand Street Campus was part of the PSAL. You placed fourth at states in the Division One, which is huge. That must have meant a lot to you, but not only to you, but to the PSAL community, didn't it?
That was a good year for us, man. It was like one of the years where it's like, yeah, you like back in the day, you get a PSAL kid and it's like, oh, I gotta buy first round. But it's not like that no more. It's like these kids are super tough, and they're only getting tougher. And I started noticing that shift when Stephen Keith started coaching us. He was a great coach, and he really developed all of us. Like my other teammate Marquise, who goes to Brockport, he developed me and him, in ways that I couldn't even get from other people. You know what I mean? So it's like definitely huge.
Yeah, talking about your teammate, I think it was last year I saw a picture on Facebook. Somebody might have shared it, or Cortland State might have tweeted it or retweeted it, but it was a picture of, in talking about your former teammates, a picture of you, Demetrius Henry, Ryan Torres, Isaias Torres, Marquise Lamarne, all five being college wrestlers from Grand Surrey campus. You're wrestling at Cortland State, Ithaca, and Brockport State. How special was it to see those guys in college, and they're all having success as well, or did have success while they were in college?
Man, I love it. It's so good to see. Like, it feels good to win. It feels good to be successful. But when you see your brothers doing it, and people who grind it next to you get to experience that, it's like one of the best feelings ever. And just like, we all met up at the New York Collegiate States, and then we all took that picture, and it was just like, damn, my boys are really out here. Like, we grinded all through high school. Coach Perez really pushed us to go and wrestle in college, and just to see everybody, like me, Marquise going on to our senior year, Ice is going on to his sophomore year, it's just beautiful. I'm not gonna lie. It's like It feels so wholesome.
Yeah, kid I wrestled, or a kid that I coached, is actually teammates with Ice down at Ithaca, and he has great things to say about him. So it's awesome to see that. And talking about some of those guys last year, if you look on Red Dragon's website, you can see three of them have the C next to them. Three of you guys were captains: Demetrius, Brian, yourself. What did it mean to be a leader for the guys on the Cortland State wrestling team and have like two other guys that you grew up with that are from Long Island or from New York City, from Grand Street campus? You guys were captains together. What did that kind of mean to you?
I mean, it meant a lot to me, and it felt good to know that we're making our coaches proud back at Grand Street. We have three Grand Street guys being captains. Ice doing his thing, Marquise doing his thing. It's just like I said, it's just wholesome, and it's like, Perez really pushed us in different ways, like other than wrestling as well. Being disciplined, being on time, just doing the right things, and you could see it translated into college for us, and
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Grand Street campus wrestler right now, like you got to look like, wow, like what could wrestling do for me? And I guess it might not just be wrestling, but obviously the five of you guys went on to college, great educations, were able to wrestle in college and be leaders. So like, being a kid from Brooklyn who wants to get into the sport of wrestling and knowing you have that avenue to go after high school and you can get into whatever you want to kind of do, whether it's a major at Cortland State, Ithaca, obviously a nice private school. Brockport State, they got a lot of great majors as well. It's great to see, and obviously it's great for the kids that are growing up, looking up to you guys. Last year, last season, you finished your season in Roanoke at Nationals as a two-time NCAA qualifier. You finished with a 31-4 record on the year. What has been the focus this offseason to reach your goals in Wisconsin at Nationals next March?
So there's definitely a lot of things that I reflected on and adjusted. One of them being getting up off bottom no matter what. Like that was one of my biggest things, especially my first year at Nationals, and when the WrestleBack match, it's 4-4. I lost on riding time point. So definitely one of the biggest focuses is getting up off bottom, and just staying in a good mental space to be able to compete at a high level, because I started off the year really well and I felt like I was wrestling my best, and I kind of, when I look back at it, I kind of like dwindled down a little bit, and I don't think I was really wrestling to my full potential at the, by the end of the year. But that's another thing, a lot of mental training. And in the summer, I wrestle a lot, but I also like try to focus a little on strength conditioning, because I feel like I'm a little undersized for 33, at least strength wise. So I definitely, that's one of my other focuses this summer. So
Nice. And like I said, you're a captain. Preseason practices have been underway. A lot of coaches can kind of see, and of course you're already a captain, but a lot of coaches can see people being the leaders are kind of emerge, in the preseason when obviously you want to look towards the guys that are leading in the right way before the season to lead your team during the season. But as a veteran on the team, what do you preach to your teammates, as we're about a month and a half away from competition? What are you guys preaching to your teammates?
So this year I'm trying to preach something that really, I feel like really helped Grand Street's program growing up, and it's like it's brotherhood. Like we're all brothers. It's, I know we're maybe we might be competing for a spot, but at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. We're all working towards the common goal. So keeping that in mind and really trusting in each other and trusting in the process is what I'm trying to preach to the guys, and also just hard work, put in the time. And do extra. You always got to do extra. Those guys on the All-American wall, on the national finalist wall, they didn't do the bare minimum. They didn't just come to the practice in the afternoon, maybe in one workout. These guys are doing their own thing, getting their own workouts in, and just doing extra. If you want to succeed, you have to do extra, especially in the off season. Like Coach Perry says, there's no such thing as overtraining in the off season. So that's definitely something that's true, and it's just
Talking,
you got to put in the work.
yeah, no doubt. I mean, and talking about putting in the work and doing extra, I'm good friends with Connor LaPresse, and he told me to ask you about demon time. What is demon time? And
Demon time, man. Demon time is that mode where you're just locked in. Like you don't care. You're gonna win. You're gonna win. You're gonna be mean, but you're gonna get that win, within the bounds of the rules, any way possible. You just gotta be gritty. You gotta be mean, and that's what Demon Time's about. Me and LaPresti would come in sophomore year. We'd come in the morning. We would scrap. We would scrap in the morning. You know, it was we did it consistently for a couple months in the season. And this is on, like I said, extra. This is on top of the, you know, maybe morning workouts that we'd have, afternoon workouts, you know, conditioning sessions or whatever. Just doing extra and just being in that mode, knowing that you belong there, you know. No, and you got to believe. That's one of the big things he preached to me, is you got to believe. Because if you don't believe, then you're already losing. If you don't believe in yourself, then that's bad. So definitely, like, believing you belong there, believing you should win, because you put in the pain. I put in the work day in and day out. So there's no reason why I shouldn't be standing at the top of the podium in March.
That's right. I'm excited to see some demon time this year. Looking
Yes,
at your
sir.
schoolwork, you know, what's your major at Cortland State?
Fitness development.
Fitness development, nice. What do you kind of plan on doing after you graduate college?
I'm gonna go for my master's exercise science, but long term I want to go into coaching. It's one of been one of my dreams for the longest. You know, over the summer I coach little kids and do one-on-one sessions with people, and it just makes me feel good. You know, being able to teach someone and see someone implement maybe technique or just implement mindset into what they're doing and helping them reach their goals. So definitely I want to, you know, coach, hopefully be able to coach here, and, you know, just help some of the younger guys that just joined the team get on that All-American wall, get on that national champion wall.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome. Talking about majors and whatnot, I was talking to Co Coach Prairie, and I was telling him like, I mean, I know you're not getting into physical education, but as far as that goes, and I'm sure plenty of your teammates are, but I mean, I could go to any school pretty much in the state, and somebody that's a physical education teacher in that school district is a Cortland State alum. Cortland obviously is a very good school as far as, you know, athletics, and especially for a state school, so. It definitely produces a lot of talent in that aspect. You know, talking about like you've been there for 3 seasons. Well, you know, you're going into your third year of eligibility, but you've been at Cortland. Now, what's your favorite memory so far at Cortland? You know, it could be on the mats or I guess off the mats as well.
I'll give you one of these. So on the mats, it had to be the Messiah tournament my sophomore year. So my first like year actually wrestling at Cortland. Yeah, it was like when I got my first like nationally ranked win against like a top 10 guy. Actually, two top 10 guys. It was like I wrestled so well that weekend, and that's the weekend I really started believing in myself, like, you know, believing that I belong there. Because, you know, I come out, wrestle hard, beat these talented guys, and it's like, you know, it makes you feel good, and it makes you like start thinking. You start having co more confidence as you go. And after that tournament was like kind of the turning point where I'm like, okay, I know I should be here. I know I should be on that podium. Like, I'm beating these guys. I'm beating guys that's placed before, and just knowing that, like, it helps a lot to believe. I think off the mats, it had to be just living with Brian, living with Demetrius, living with my guy Richie, or one of our 25 pounders. That live just living, because, you know, it's different hanging out with people. You know, you hang out here and there than living with them. Like, living with them is like such a different experience, and it was so fun living with them. Like, these guys are all characters, and just being in the same household, seeing them every day is like, it's funny. It's funny. It's definitely a good time.
Nice. But yeah, talking about your favorite memory on the mats, you know, obviously it's huge to have that kind of experience and you know, knowing like, hey, like I won this tournament. You know, I beat this guy that's ranked. You know, I belong in college wrestling, or you know, just the things that you're doing and believing in, and they're actually showing and paying off. So that's great. And obviously it was in your first year of eligibility. So having that early leads to some success as well. Talking about living with your guys, and maybe you guys are really good cooks and chefs, maybe not. Like, what's the best food in Cortland, in your opinion?
Like in the town,
Yeah, in the town.
I'll give you top three. I'll give you my top three. Okay, all right.
All right.
Wild Ginger is like a hibachi spot.
Okay.
Fire, fire. You got a Wild Ginger. This is not an order, by the way, because I'm just giving you the top. What I think the top three. The Rock is a like a sports bar and grill. Fire wings. And probably in third or in the top three has to be New York bagel for like breakfast. They have like good breakfast bagels, bacon, egg, and cheese, stuff like that. Stuff that remind me of home, honestly. There actually has been like two new spots open up. It's like Student Deli, which is like what I'm hearing from is like a New York City deli. So I got to check that out. And then Gorgers, which I literally hear of every day and I still have not been. So those definitely top five right there.
See, you gave me five options. Coach Prairie only gave me one, which he's still new to Cortland, so I'll hold that over his head. But that gives me some options when I
What he tell you?
so
Did he tell
I'm
you
blanking.
Gorgeous? Was it
He said
Gorgeous?
it was, yes, it was. That's a sandwich shop, right? Yeah, that's the one he said. He highly re recommends that. So I'll he told me he's gonna bring me out there. The only place I've ever been was Cortland Diner, and it's got a good breakfast, so I can't complain with that. But I mean, between
I
that
haven't
or
been to
Ithaca,
Cortland Diner, honestly.
no, I mean it's a nice little spot, especially if you like a low key setting and good breakfast, you got to go there. Talking about Cortland, I was talking about Ithaca, good food both places, but there's also a huge rivalry between the two programs. Cortica, this is event is a big football game. You guys host Ithaca on the mats this year. Does Ithaca Cortland duel have any heat behind it with two successful wrestling programs being close to each other? What's your take on the Cortica match?
Oh, 100%. It gets heated in that room, especially we didn't do it this year. Oh, I mean, we're not doing it this year, but usually it's a gymnastics meet going on at the same time as the wrestling meet. So it used to be called Beauty and the Beast. I don't think they're doing it this year because of the scheduling issue or whatever, but it's definitely one of the most heated matches of the year for sure. Like, especially last year, we were tied. Unfortunately, one of our guys got pinned in the last match, after being up. So, like, the crowd erupted. You know how it goes, and we're at their home, so it's definitely heated, and it's going to be even more heated this year for sure. Because our guys are hungry too to finally beat Ithaca. It's been a couple years we haven't beat them, from what I know, but definitely
Yeah,
super heated.
that's gonna be exciting. You talked about doing some one-on-one private lessons when you go back home, but I also saw that you do some Brazilian jiu-jitsu stuff. Does MMA interest you at all after college?
I'm definitely thinking about, like, I don't see myself doing it long term, honestly. Like, I hate getting punched in the face. Like, it's cool, it looks cool, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, I do enjoy it, don't get me wrong. But long term, I don't see myself doing it. Maybe, after I graduate, a couple fights, here and there. Kind of what my high school coach Perez did. He fought a couple amateur fights, ended up fighting a couple pro fights, and then called it quits. And that's kind of like the route I want to take, 'cause just for the experience and just to know. But I definitely am more interested in going into pro jiu-jitsu more than anything, because grappling based, I guess is like more optimal for longevity, as far as my body, So definitely something that interests me. And a lot of those guys, they travel a lot, they teach a lot, and it kind of goes in line with what I like to do,
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, looking at, I guess, MMA and the question that it brought up, besides you doing the jiu-jitsu stuff, but it was obviously Aljo Sterling, Aljamain Sterling in the UFC, was a UFC champion. Wears Cortland State apparel all the time because he's a Cortland State alum. It's crazy to see somebody that wrestled, Division III at Cortland State here in New York. Obviously, he's from Section 8 anyways, but just to see him go on to wrestle at Cortland and still represent them, when he gets the chance. And of course, he comes into the room once in a while as well. So that's pretty cool. But wrapping things up, I kind of wanted to talk about Coach Prairie now. When you came in, it was obviously Coach Brune, and he was a head coach. Now you're going into your second year under Coach Prairie. How has that transition been? And if you can, describe Coach Prairie in two words.
That transition, it was definitely like, it's always tough, having someone coming in brand new coaching you that you've never met before. It's hard to put your trust in someone that you don't really know too well. Especially Prairie, like, he's not from New York, he's from PA originally, so it's definitely different having like someone from somewhere else come and coach you. But I have nothing but good things to say, man. He pushes us, he looks out for us. He supports us in any way possible. Like, Literally, Prairie's the man. I actually was talking about it at work today with I work with our team manager. He's hilarious too. He's just such a good person overall, and I really do appreciate what he's doing for us. He's doing everything he can to get us to that high level. You know, he did a great job of recruiting this year. There's a lot of new studs in the room, and it's gonna be a good year for us, you know, and that's all because of Coach Prairie. Like he did his thing. And if I could
Yeah.
describe him in two words, had to be, he's hilarious. Like he's funny without being funny to me. Like I'm not gonna lie. Like, he makes me laugh often. Let's see. He's hilarious and passionate. Definitely passionate about wrestling, passionate about getting our programs to the next level.
Those are two great traits to have, you know, hilarious, bringing the mood up when things are bad, you know, and then obviously being passionate because you got to kind of stay in that grind, especially as a college coach. I mean, college wrestling season's long. I mean, you know it as a wrestler, but just stay, you know, passionate and look out for the best interest in all of your wrestlers, you know, all the time, you know, being passionate about it. It's a great combination. You know, I gotta ask, and I asked this on my last episode with a St. John Fisher wrestler, but who controls the aux cord in the room? You know, the
So
music.
funny. So last year we would switch around a lot. I would be on it, maybe some or one of our heavyweights would be on it. But honestly, it's free game in the room. Like I would say anything, but just know if you play something trash, like you're gonna hear it from everyone. You know, so you definitely gonna have a playlist ready or something. Because if not, you're gonna hear it. You know. Sometimes even Prairie will hop on the aux like before practice and have like country music playing. And I'm in the city. I don't listen to country music, honestly. So, but like it's so funny just hearing that. You know, anyone can really connect for real.
That's great. Yeah, wrapping this up, you got any last words? Any shout outs?
Nah, pre oh man, we'll be here another hour if I'm doing shout outs. But yo, I just wanna say thank you to everyone that's supporting me, that's been supporting me my whole career. Just a lot of big things coming for me this year. Like, mark my words, I'm gonna be at the top of that podium in March, and I really do believe that. So, thank you guys for supporting me. Thank you, Dylan, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a great episode, and I'm looking forward to watching the Red Dragons wrestle this winter. You know, good luck, and thanks again for jumping on.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Hope to see you soon, man.